Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
Star Trek Podcast.
But the Borg, they don't feel, don't care. But I do. So how does that factor into this?
We must take precautions.
Precautions?
I'm afraid this is not just about you anymore.
What do you see? When you look at me, what do you... Look at me, damn it! What are you seeing?
I came close to killing everyone I knew. Everyone I loved. You don't know what it is to be controlled by them. What she can make you do. And I've seen with my own eyes what you are capable of, Jack.
Box.
Yeah, I'm ready. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm just gonna go ahead and push play.
I'm just gonna go ahead and push play.
Let's push play.
I'm gonna push play because it's time to start the podcast.
Push play.
We're all on the same side here.
Alright, okay, podcasting. We are now podcasting.
I'm gonna push play because it's time to start the podcast.
Yes, and we've started the podcast. I've officially called it. I've pushed the button that makes the timer start going.
Guys.
So we've done the podcast.
Come on, guys. It's time to start the podcast. Come on, guys.
We would like to welcome the audience to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
No, we wouldn't.
This is episode 180, I think.
Yeah.
No, it isn't.
We have more episodes than Star Trek The Next Generation.
No, we don't.
Or indeed than Voyager or Deep Space Nine.
Now, that's true. That's true.
No, it's true of The Next Generation as well.
No, it's not.
It's true of all the series. What
no,
am I saying?
No, it's not.
All the series have fewer episodes than 170. The Next Generation has 178. This comment I'm making is late. I should have made it earlier.
No, you should.
I should have made it last week. Except then people might argue about certain two-parters and one-parters. And
if you were going to do it,
dividing up and counting.
If you're going to do it,
yeah,
if you're going to do it earlier, you shouldn't have done it last week.
What? No, that's precisely what I...
Wait,
well,
what is
no,
this weird,
I guess I was sort of... Anyway.
Voice thing you're doing.
Look,
I don't know.
Dan's welcome to express himself creatively in whatever way makes the most sense. Okay, all right. So it's episode 9 of season 3 of Picard, the final season.
It's quite an episode.
So I presume we don't have new listeners popping in and saying like, hey, I'm going to listen. I heard about these guys.
I hope not.
And I'm going to listen to them at episode 9.
The most recent episode.
I guess there's a few people who might be doing that. We welcome you. But
you're
not.
Doing it wrong.
Those people are just really
adventurous. I'm just saying that I'm cool with like a little bit more haphazard than like, you know, the beginning of the season. We want to be all like, well, we've got everything in organized fashion. You know, all our ducks are in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Where our ducks can be running loose today, I think.
Are you sure it's a duck or is it
a bee?
What was that? A bee? A bee?
The Borg.
Okay.
A bee.
Yes.
The Borg.
There's a lot to discuss this episode.
A
okay.
Bee.
We haven't even mentioned
a duck.
Oh, you.
Yes. Okay. See, exactly.
A duck.
The Gigglies. It's a good night when there's the Gigglies. Mm-hmm. Okay, we haven't even mentioned the name of the episode that we're
Vox.
Talking. Vox, and not only Vox, but Vox with some sort of a tilde or a tilde or something on it, some sort of accent.
Shit.
So
that is why you are Vox.
Exactly.
Yes,
I did it,
and not Phlox.
No,
Vox.
No. Not necessarily.
Now, here's the thing. This is just an announcement to the audience, especially to folks who may follow us on social media. Now, we always put out, you know, the information, little graphics and advertisements saying, oh, come listen to the It's Got Star Trek podcast. And it has like, what are we going to discuss today, Charlie? And it's like, we're going to discuss Vox. But the problem is that the font that I, Patrick, that I used to create the little graphic, the Star Trek font.
You know, there's people who like make fonts. I mean, obviously, because there's whole fonts being made, but like somebody does that, which is seems like an obvious thing to say, but like, what a life to live. That sounds fascinating.
Dan, get this.
Are they called fontsmiths?
Fontsmiths.
Get this.
Fontsmiths.
Your seemingly tangential comment.
Sorry.
Turns out indeed to be quite relevant.
Oh, good.
Because the Star Trek style font that I use. One of the fonts that I use, one of the Star Trek style fonts that I use for our advertisements, does not have the letter O with the accent. The fonts, the fontsmith.
That's fucked up.
Well, you know, it's. I can understand if you have a limited amount of time and resources.
I don't blame the fontsmiths. I just think that, wow, that's.
It's mildly aggravating, but I just want to let people know
font mavens.
That we are as invested in the semantic nitty-gritty of Star Trek as you are, and we would very much have liked to advertise this episode and list this episode using the little accented O. But at least in terms of the graphics, we couldn't do that. Maybe we can do that on
I missed the whole accent. What kind of a mark was it?
Well, it's a little tilde thing.
Like a little squiggly bit?
Yeah, a little snake. A little snake that lives on top of the O. You can type in the O, but the problem is when the font doesn't have a pre-designed letter, it just reverts to a basic another font, so it looks weird. Anyway,
that was not my fault.
No, and nor is it of particularly much interest to the audience. But you know, this is we have a reputation to uphold here, and
how do you pronounce this?
We just want to clarify that. What, Vox?
Well, the Vox with a tilde.
I don't know. I don't. I think it's like they might be doing a Motley Crue thing.
You know? It already sounds like it.
Vox.
By the way,
a B.
That was part. That was directly after.
After what?
The Borg.
That was what Jack was talking about.
A B?
Yeah, that was Jack saying a B. That was from the episode.
But as opposed to a Borg?
Yeah. First he said
the Borg.
Then he said
a bee.
And someone else said
a duck.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're fooling me, man. You're fooling me. That's not cool.
No, but the
this is not Friday Night Foolings.
So no,
it is.
I mean, I know it is by definition. Now it is.
He goes. The Borg. That's quite the explanation. A life of disconnection, only to realize that I'm emblematic of what? A bee seeking a hive for a collective, for a queen. That part.
I now understand the context.
Yeah. Just thought I'd clear that up before we moved on.
And we weren't even playing the game. The whole name, the context, based off of a sliver of the line quote.
Yeah, that game.
Yeah.
I've got a few of those. We don't have to play them because if there's time.
This guy bragging over here.
No, it's the kind of thing where I'm literally not trying to make them. I just grab a quote that doesn't translate well when I like put it in. I'm like, that you can't really tell what's going
on
here.
Natural talent.
Or sometimes I'm pulling something out and I hear a weird thingy and
you're
I'm like,
Dan the Extractor.
And then I'm like, ooh.
Yes, Dan the Extractor for real.
And then I hear
Master Extractor.
And while I'm pulling the long line, I'm like, oh, that part stands out as being wacky. So sometimes it's by accident, sometimes it's slightly on purpose, but it's never like I'm like, I'm gonna go find one right now. You know, I never do that. It just kind of comes to me.
All right. That sounded like one of those explanations where it starts out. It seems like your intention is to say like, oh, it's not such a big deal.
Right.
But this is somehow perfectly reasonable. You end up saying like, I have this special gift. Yeah. This special ability was given to me.
And like was pounding on his chest.
Yeah. All right. There's enough Friday Night Foolies. We got to get back to the Saturdays.
I don't know what I am.
Star Trekies. Star Treks. Knock, knock, who's there? Star Trek. Star Trek. Who? I don't know.
That was a good
Star
joke.
Star Trek Picard.
Yeah, there you go.
Kids are into the absurd humor that doesn't have jokes.
Yeah.
You know, that's what the kids are into these days.
Speaking of funny, the name of the song was I Can't Stop Crying by Wilgrove White.
Was that the song that was playing when Beverly or Jack was opening the door? Deanna was opening Jack's door. It's a little confusing.
So that's like...
And then but he was saying his mom, Beverly,
yes,
likes, she loves that song, I Can't Stop Crying, which is weird.
But she... she learned about it from, I think, from Picard, right? Because he's into that kind of old-timey
He implied, music. Jack mm-hmm. implied that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Passed down from my father to my mother.
Right.
To me.
Did we, by the way, did we get through the whole opening of the show already?
I think we're still going.
We named the episode, we numbered the episode, and we did Vox, and you thanked the audience.
And then you said Vox, and you talked about the font, and okay, yeah, I guess we started.
I mean, the main thing is that we had to talk about the font. Oh, there was another main thing that I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast before, because I feel like I only thought of it today.
Mm. Today.
However, I'm allowing for the possibility that I've said this before. But I think I figured out one thing that weirds me out about Star Trek Picard.
Uh-oh.
And I think it's weirded me out since season one. And mm-hmm. it's not a bad thing. It's just something that I've observed and sort of clicked today. Which is in Picard, I think it goes all the way back to season one, but especially this season, Picard is always got his hands in his pockets.
I did not even notice that.
He's just walking around with his hands in his pockets all the time.
They have the pockets in those things?
In the olden days, they didn't have pockets in the uniforms, but now they do. But Picard always had his hands like at the sides. And like now he's just always like got his hands like in his jacket pockets. And he's just like,
I hadn't even thought, now I won't stop seeing it.
It's cold in space, man.
Yeah. I'm just saying it's kind of hilarious, he's an old man. He was looking out the window of the Titan, just like with his hands in his pockets, like just like, oh, I got my hands in my pockets.
Wow. I'm Captain Picard.
Admiral Picard.
Mm-hmm.
Look at me.
All right.
I got pockets. Mm-hmm. An observation. Mm-hmm. One I wanted to pass along to the audience.
I'd like to wish everybody a very wonderful
Happy Frontier Day, everyone.
that's what we got going on.
That's for real, yeah.
It's finally here. Frontier Day is finally here.
Yeah, that was quite a Frontier Day.
Are you excited about that?
That was something.
They're really leaning into, I guess we're jumping around. Should we start more in order?
That's our style, man.
What I was going to say is
it's kangaroos.
Yeah. Totally.
Roofort cheese. For the small percentage of people who are new listeners this week, to understand the Roofort cheese reference.
It's just Roofort dressing.
Oh, yes. Please go back one episode.
Yeah.
Go back one episode and perhaps follow up on Twitter.
The two koala jokes made by Jesse and Patrick, though, were...
The koala mulat?
Oh. Yeah. And Jesse, I asked a question.
Jesse said koala oil?
Yeah. It's much better.
That's right.
And I was like, no, they really like Roquefort in Australia. And and I just read what I wanted to read. Anyways, yeah, I was like, you don't have to listen to the last episode now because we're just rehashing what happened.
No, you should probably listen to the last episode, because what we did just now was just sort of a half-assed, like, convoluted bullshit.
Yeah, it only makes sense to us.
Yeah.
But that's okay, because this is episode 9, and we can do whatever the fuck we want, because, the writers are doing whatever the fuck they want.
Seemingly so.
They're getting the whole fucking fleet.
It's quite a ride.
So, what I was going to say,
getting the whole fucking fleet. This is an amazing episode. This is an amazing season. I'm loving every minute of it.
Good.
But every now and then...
Seems like they should have had more ships.
A couple of these things are like... The whole fleet. It's like a bunch of robot ships in the whole fleet. Oh, shit. Somebody computer programmed it.
Right.
Now, this is more of a comment on their attitude towards the internet in Star Trek, which has been pointed out that there is
no internet.
And they're really leaning into that.
You ain't got no internet, Lieutenant Dan.
Yeah. That's Forrest Gump reference.
How do they buy things?
So, that's the other thing about the future. But, okay, the point
is right, they don't
get your replicator rations.
Right. The point I was making is they're really leaning into this whole not even no internet, like no networking whatsoever, because they're like, we can do this crazy thing now where we can get all the ships to act as one unit. It's like
like drones?
Drones, right? drones can do that. But it's okay though, because they don't have internet, they don't have networks. It's in a world where because it's the same reason they can organize the fleet into one unit. That's the same way that they don't need ship beacons anymore, because they can just track the ships. But they already established that previously. And like I said, they're just really leaning into this concept no network concepts altogether. But in Enterprise, was it Enterprise or what was the show where they were talking about I think someone was saying something like, here, give me your letters to send out on the sub...
Discovery. They were sending letters back.
Yeah.
TOS has done that too. Like in the little data cards or something.
I don't think it was just Discovery. I thought it was like...
Yeah, it was like, I think people were like going up to Uhura and giving her messages to send out on the nightly subspace radio.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Card tapey things.
Right. So they've done that. So it's, like I said, not a complaint. It's more just a noticing. Like they're really...
It's this very Star Trek thing. So it is on the... You have to... You just please admit that I know there's people who are defending this and I'm not attacking it. I'm making the point. It's a Star Trek thing, but it's ridiculous. It is ridiculous, this idea. But first of all, it doesn't look like it's the whole fleet, because I think there were more ships attacking Deep Space Nine, like retaking Deep Space Nine, in that episode where they retook Deep Space Nine.
Fleet formation.
The practicalities of it sound ludicrous. Now, you could say it's just the local fleet or the fleet that protects Seoul or something. I don't know. Whatever. It's all good. It's not a big deal. I'm saying that it's just the reverse of the other Star Trek thing. Normally, we would see something happen and the Enterprise is the only ship.
Right.
And that's also ridiculous. Like, why would the Enterprise be the only ship in Star Trek 4 or like a lot of TNG and other episodes? So it's nothing new. It's the point is to get the dramatic part of the story going. Every now and then it's like you're kind of watching it and you're like, I don't know, guys. One's a little tough to swallow.
I didn't understand what Shelby was talking about. In case of the unthinkable, fleet-wide incapacitation, this system will protect our crews in our continued exploration of what still remains our final frontier. Fleet-wide incapacitation, and she's saying it'll still be operable in a fleet-wide incapacitation. I can only think that meant if all the crew suddenly like went unconscious, they could still send ships around. Because when you say fleet-wide incapacitation, to me that says all the ships don't work anymore. So how is this like a unified drone system?
There's like a laser or something, and everyone goes dead, but then like one person survives, so they can control
the whole fleet. That's the only thing I could think would meant from that. But anyway, Shelby's here.
Yes, although I loved seeing Shelby back. Although it also appears that she was immediately killed.
Yeah,
and I am somewhat on the side of folks that critique Picard in particular for reintroducing characters only to immediately kill them, like Icheb and Hugh.
Ensign Row.
It's like all these people.
No, that's a good
who
point.
We like, and also for sort of dramatically unnecessary reasons. The other big thing that happens this episode is Captain Shaw dies.
Yeah.
And I personally, I thought that was... Now, we haven't seen the last episode, so who knows what happens. I will hold any... Reserve any serious
critiques. The only thing
that
bums me about is the same thing as... Spoiler for Strange New Worlds ahead. The only thing that bums me out about the Shaw thing is the same reason I was bummed out about Hemmer.
Yeah.
Is because, like, I wanted to see more of that character.
But
a lot of people were okay with the Hemmer.
But also, in the case of Hemmer, it was like you had a whole season with this one character, and this one character died doing something very heroic and specific to the plot. Shaw, he dies in this episode, and it is specific to the plot, except so much of this season has been so creative and interesting and keeping people on their toes and keeping people guessing. And then there's a few of these little components where it's like, no, you did the exact cliched thing. You had Captain Shaw save the day by sacrificing his life. And before he dies, he refers to Seven of Nine.
Yeah, even though in that same episode, he's still calling her like Hansen up until that one point.
And the thing is so his death is...
You have the con. Seven of Nine.
Yeah.
Did you notice his left hand was kind of twitching?
Todd Stashwick is an amazing actor.
That made it really upsetting. Like,
no,
when
the whole, and when he was all like, no,
he
no,
was
no,
twitching
no,
for the
no,
whole
no,
season.
No, it was horrifying. Yeah. I found that the death was undercut in a couple ways. First of all, it was so predictable. It was like literally exactly what we thought would happen is what happened. You know, that's the standard trope. Mm-hmm. And I was just a little disappointed in that. Secondly, he's a great character, and he died so that he's now not involved in the story. Yeah. There's no other reason he died. It didn't like him giving one extra moment. Come on, that's all very artificially manufactured.
So I felt like I was like not quite pleased with Ro dying, just because like it was kind of
agree.
We like Ro came back just so we could tie up that loose end by just introducing her. She drops off some info, then she dies, and it's kind of like I don't know.
It was still unpredictable, at least.
Okay, but
and she helped save the day in a more concrete way, I would argue, than Shaw did.
Yeah. So yeah, Shaw just kind of like he didn't do anything.
It was like
he just
kind of a normal, not particularly interestingly choreographed laser fight.
But Shelby dying, I was fine with, and I was okay. What was it? Captain Ben Bassat from the Excelsior, he died.
The Excelsior exploded, and there was this big old shock.
Elnor was on the Excelsior at one point, but I presume he's back at the Academy or something. But, you know, that would be upsetting if Elnor was also killed. Here's the thing.
What I was saying
how many times are they going to kill off Elnor?
So with Shelby, yeah, I can see it's like, oh, we haven't seen her in a while. She comes back, she's dead. And it was meant to like drum up some kind of sense of stakes and things like that. But I do at least appreciate, there was this huge Borg fight. Of course some people are going to fucking die.
Yeah, no.
And like, I made that same complaint about, like, I said this last episode about the end of Discovery, the end of the season Discovery, where all this, like, all this galactic ending bullshit's going down, and it's like fireballs are heading towards the Earth, and everyone's like, oh, no! Yeah. Oh, no! Like, the end of Armageddon or something, and, like, suddenly it's like they flip a switch, and all the fireballs, like, go in the other direction. They're like, oh, it's okay, it's cool.
It's so fine.
Because it dragged you through this whole like goodbye sequence with like Tilly and the Admiral guy, and they're like saying
Admiral,
like,
sexy daddy,
yeah, and they're all having a drink, and they're all like I guess this is it,
Mummy.
I guess this is it. This is it's been a pleasure working with you. Oh man, oh wow, how we're having our final drink. It's like, no, we don't. We're alive, you know. So it's like that was
no, we don't.
So on the one hand, I can't, in good conscience, say that I had a problem with this, because then it would make me inconsistent. No. I don't want to be inconsistent. Yeah. But I do see your point, like with Ro, like I was kind of, it was unpredictable, but I was a little like, they brought her back and took her off, because it's unpredictable doesn't mean it's good, but
it's a minor thing, greatly outweighed by all the amazing awesomeness in this overall storyline and this particular episode.
No, I mean, I was,
this is a great fucking episode.
It was, it had me hooked.
And I think you could probably, maybe a few aside, I honestly kind of wasn't that into Shaw's death. I was sad about it, because I was like, here's another great character that we just don't get to see again. Yeah. Now, again, who knows? Last episode, maybe they time travel reset or something. That's awesome. I'm going to give them all the benefit of the doubt. All I'm saying is, if it's true that Shaw's dead, that sucks. The other deaths, I think any individual one is totally justifiable. Mm. It's just the pattern of Ichab and Hugh and Shelby and Ro. And it's like,
who's Ichab?
And Ichab is the guy from Voyager who had his like eyeballs poked out, ripped out or something, because they were like the pirate people were like, the Orions were like stealing the Borg technology, so they were kidnapping Borg and like ripping the technology out of their body.
So
that was what, season two?
Yeah, I mean, you gotta use some restraint.
No, that was season one.
Use some restraint, I guess.
Yeah, so I guess the part of what I'm getting at is that I think a lot of people, they watch Star Trek because it's like it's a comfortable show. It's not like, people, I don't think, generally watch Star Trek to be upset. And I think it's okay to sometimes
be
upset.
That's why I watch.
of Strange New Worlds where the kid ran the
See, that's a good counterpoint, because that kind of upset.
I like that episode.
But that episode is buttressed by like goofy episodes, you know. Right. So like,
yeah,
they've even done that where it's like tragic and goofy at the same time.
Tragic.
Strange New Worlds is great at all that. Again, it's not really a critique of Picard, but it's like, yeah, you start to notice when it's like, okay, they're killing all these people. So now all these people all these people who have been clamoring to be like, I hope Janeway shows up or so. It's like, now people are like, I hope she doesn't.
Yeah.
Because they're screwed to fucking kill Janeway, and they'll kill Tuvok, and they'll kill the doctor.
I hope that Janeway is okay.
Now I worry about, if I see a familiar face, I'm worried. If I see Kira, I'll be worried. If I see Jake Sisko, I'll be worried. You know,
oh, no.
Jake Sisko.
Yeah.
Chief O'Brien.
Yes.
So
I've said my piece.
Yeah.
Regard to the deaths.
And I already said this, but I want to reiterate, I still, the whole Shaw finally calling Seven of Nine is great and all. It's kind of predictable. It's predictable. And it was like, that was undercut by the fact that he called her Hansen earlier. Yeah. Like
change of heart.
Yeah, right. In Showtime, 10 minutes earlier, he said Hansen, but suddenly he decided nothing caused that change other than he was dying. So it was a little bit less effective. But
I would also argue my minor critique of
When she was last episode, When Seven of Nine last episode to Shaw, God, you guys.
In case of the Friday Night Foolies.
When Seven of Nine last episode was all going to Shaw and going,
that was good.
And going like,
my name is Seven of Nine.
That was supposed to have been like a pow moment, but they were like tied up and, you know, they had to be quiet. So it was, it wasn't that big of a deal, but that was supposed to be like the moment she says it. And he's like, but like, and I'm
the
predictable
the-
now, but the thing is that would have, should have been more the turning point of when he, but what do I know? I don't know. No, could have, would have, should have. I can't tell them how to do the show. I can sit back and say, they should have done this. And I can be an armchair screenwriter all day long, but it doesn't mean I know a goddamn thing.
Yes. We've that caveat, should be well understood. That we are podcasting.
What they should have done. What they should have done. I don't mean to be like that.
But,
so I apologize.
But we are. It's hard to. I think we all are very overwhelmingly positive with this show. And this
episode. It's great.
But which makes it even more interesting. Some of these things stand out more because of how high quality the vast majority of all this is. And I'd say that one of the things with the Shaw arc, because I love Shaw. I wish Shaw wasn't dead because that's how much I love
Shaw,
him, right?
Shaw,
one thing that was a little structurally unsound with that particular thread was that Shaw saying 7 of 9 at the end, right before his death. First of all, yeah, it's a little undermined because he's like, okay, he says it right before he dies. Come on, guys, what? But the other thing is we started liking him too early.
Yeah.
We should have started liking him right before he says 7 of 9 in whatever context he ends up referring to 7 as 7 of 9. I think that's the problem, is we liked him too early. So now it feels weird to be like, okay, we like you, and then you saying 7 of 9 is reminding us that you were being kind of a piece of shit, like, in this one way. Mm-hmm. Irrationally, too. I think that was the other thing, is like, it was, like, as his character was originally presented, it was like, okay, we get the deal, he's a dickhead. But then as you get to know him, you're like, oh, okay, he's opening up, he's loosening up because of the situation. Except in this one way? Like, why wouldn't he loosen up? Why wouldn't he be like, okay, I'm sorry I was being a dick about it? He was like, I'm sorry I was being a dick about some other stuff, but not about the 7 of 9 thing.
Yeah. Back to what you're saying about the whole season, I've been super into this season. There was, from the start, there was a very straight, like, you knew what was going on. There was a lot of side sort of stuff that was happening, trying to sort of establish what the you know, intrigue was and all that. But at all times we knew, it's like, okay, they're trying to do this. It's exciting. I'm on the edge of my seat. The middle couple episodes were kind of set up for the last half, but once again, I'm back in that place where it's like, yeah, yeah. So I'm really
like, lean back in your seat at that point.
And so I'm really, I'm pleased. I've enjoyed this whole season. It's been focused and it's been pretty good.
Nitpicking aside, it's been excellent.
And there's a lot in this episode.
Kawat a lot?
That comes out. A kawat a lot.
Wait, is a kawat a lot?
Kawat a lot.
What's a palette? What's a palette?
That's a Pulp Fiction reference.
So is yours. Yours was too.
I know it was. Yeah.
We both were.
Yeah.
Can you guys humor me for a second?
All right. It depends.
Just a second.
It sort of depends on what that means. Is this, are you going to play another 3-minute clip?
No, it's only going to be one. It's only going to be 1 minute. It's going
to
be 1 minute.
The clown music. I have to edit it and put the clown music in the middle.
No, it's
so we don't get a takedown.
It's 1 minute, and if we just because like I was complaining about how Shaw didn't properly make the transition from Hanson to 7 of 9. So I just want to like make sure everyone, we have a moment to remember 7 of 9. Can we do that? Is that okay?
Jesse, what do you say? I say it's okay.
I say it's
he's
okay.
Making me a little nervous with the way he's presenting.
I don't know.
This.
I don't really know what's going on.
I was totally
on,
fine with it at so the I'm beginning gonna, of what he was saying, but now I'm a little nervous.
So let's just for the next minute, just a moment of silence. This is so stupid what I'm doing.
Well, we'll fucking do it. What are you doing?
You have the con.
My name is 7 of 9.
Hey, Hanson.
He already did this
before. This is the biochemistry lab. I have Commander Hanson to sick bay.
Hanson, give me 5.
It's still funny.
Give me a missile control.
Commander Hanson to Captain Riker.
Commander Hanson, go make sure that those manual locks are off.
Commander Hanson.
Flare, flare.
Hanson, the Forge always calls me Commander 7.
Again? Okay.
Did they have any other songs?
So,
no,
all
that
right.
was the only one.
That was the only one.
So. We're going to take a break in a second, but I just want to go over something here real quick, Dan. So, yes, that's funny. And it was funny the first time you did it.
Yeah.
And if you recall the first time you did it, I had suggested that perhaps that had gone on a little longer than it needed to, and I correctly, I believe, sussed out that the reason was because you were insistent, for artistic reasons, on including every single reference to Hansen
in that episode.
Yes. And
yep, there were 7 of them, I believe.
Yes.
Strangely enough.
Now, wasn't that song from 1997?
Sounds right. Whoa, is it?
Check it out. It might be.
Hey, Google.
Anyway, yes, I have all the same. I liked it, but
1997.
Hell yeah.
Mm-bop. I have all the same critiques for this version of the joke as to the previous version. Well, but it's good.
We shan't play it again.
No.
I just had to do it one more
Hansen
time.
Hansen will never come
because
up.
It's all about, it doesn't matter. I know I've played it before, but
I also said you should have in the last one, you should have had a clip of the 7-Ups.
Yeah. No, you were
right.
Or some other band
with a 7
so
in the
next
name.
Time I play it, I'll make sure to add that.
But you said that last time.
I know, but I got to play it again.
Who are the 7-Ups?
There's a band. I looked it up actually after that podcast. There is a band.
But the 5, 6, 7.
So no,
there's all sorts of things.
I know I played it already, but part of getting things into people's
7 Brides for 7 Brothers.
But when people want to hear little,
it's a musical.
That's 7 Dwarves.
When people want to hear little sound bits, they generally want to hear them over and over and over again. That's why songs.
You should have had a line from the movie 7.
Let me just fucking finish.
What's in the box?
Can I just finish what I'm saying here? It's what I'm saying is that your complaint was you've played that already, and I'm saying that some things you need to play over and over again because it's not like you hear your favorite song once and you're like, okay, I heard my favorite song once. Oh, now I don't ever need to hear it again. It's like, no, you want to keep hearing it over and over.
Yeah. No, first of all, I agree with you. The argument you made is excellent. I will again point out that the argument started out with you being more modest and ending up with... We have to keep doing this because all of our audience is going to fucking love the shit out of this.
Yeah.
And I agree. I can't actually argue against that.
I think last time also, like, we talked over the first, like, quarter of it, too. So.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that is something we're prone to do. So, how about this? Let's go ahead and we'll take a little tiny break from the madness, and we'll gather our stuff over here. And then we'll return from the break and we'll continue to discuss Star Trek Picard Season 3, Episode 9, Vox. Be right back. and we're back. I was wondering if somebody else would be like, and we're back. Sometimes Jesse brings us back from break.
Everybody's all like, what?
Interestingly enough, I cannot recall a situation in which Dan brought us back from break.
I think he's done it.
I don't think have you.
Purposeful.
Yeah, I don't. I purposefully don't do it.
I don't think
it's not
ever
my thing.
Brought us back.
I've got things. It's not my thing.
Do you have any interest in taking us to break?
Sometimes I haven't.
Would you like to? How about this? You want to take us to break right now?
I've done it by a sap. Right,
wait a minute. We just took a break.
But it's okay. We'll just take another break. Dan, take us to break.
Why are you telling me what? Can you ask nicely?
May you please take us to break?
Ask nicely, and I'll do. Is that my Pulp Fiction line? He's like, ask me nicely. I don't know. Whatever.
I don't think that's.
Yeah, I think it's. Let's go to break.
All right, we're back.
Yeah.
Is that good?
Yes. So we're back from the previous
If you're
break.
Just joining us, Dan really sent us off on a good break. Just
perfect.
Before then. It was perfect.
Perfect. Mm-hmm.
So at the beginning, there's Deanna, and she's all talking about her door again. Last episode, she wanted to know.
It's
like,
not her
have
door.
Have you ever seen a door?
And then this time she's all like,
nothing is more elusive than a door the mind doesn't wish to open.
I don't know if I agree with that statement. I found that statement perplexing. I have yet to parse it in a way that makes any sense.
I can already think of something like a sneaky fox. That's more elusive than a door that doesn't want to open. Right?
I love a sneaky, clever fox. Driving home earlier today, I passed by 3 or 4 foxes prancing about.
I'm a bit of a sneak myself.
Yeah, I know.
They call them foxes.
Have you ever seen a door?
Interestingly, there's a tie-in this episode when she's like,
nothing is more elusive than a door the mind doesn't wish to open.
Because later in the episode, Geordi's all,
just trying to get the damn door open.
There's a lot of door talk in this episode. And
did you notice they haven't used Data to open any doors yet?
They used to use him to open doors all the time. Strength.
I know, he was always forcing that shit open.
Yeah.
I liked it when Worf would try Data to open a door, and then Data would be all like,
get out of the way.
And Worf would be all like, bah.
That was my favorite part.
Some classic TNG.
I am Worf, son of Blarg.
Son of Blarg.
Mokhtar.
Gobble, gobble.
So Deanna is all mind policing Jack there.
Mind police.
She really dealt with that poorly, the whole thing. She saw something terrible and she was like, whoa. And she didn't say anything to him. She didn't say anything. And she was like, I gotta go. And he's like, what the fuck? Lady.
Yeah,
like,
she gave that air of someone who's like, you can tell me anything.
And then she told Picard, and Picard didn't really do the best with it either.
She was all like, she says, like, you know, I won't judge you. I've seen some crazy shit. Like, that's what she was implying. And then when she saw Jack's shit, she's like, what the fuck? You're a fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
And then, like, Picard, you know, and then they all had to jail Jack for his mind.
She's usually better than that, Troy is. Mm.
Well, I guess she's been
out of practice, I guess.
I did find the reaction somewhat puzzling and a little bit out of character, but who knows? I guess, you know, it's a weird thing to see. You're like delving into the mind of
I
your,
get the idea that the Borg,
boss's son.
The Borg, anything with the Borg is some serious business, but in this situation, like, you gotta...
Okay. Actually, it brings up a good point that I wanted to make about the Borg in general, which is, while I enjoy where this story has gone, it's well acted, well performed, it's clever. I think this whole like assimilation through the transporter thing is a clever sci-fi thing to do.
That's pretty funny.
I was thinking about it. I was like, okay, every single season of Picard, as it turns out, is about the Borg.
Yeah it's a big
Voyager's four season, I mean, four Star through Trek, seven was about the Borg.
We've said, and I think a lot of people have said, there's a lot of Borg focused stuff going on in Star Trek that they're trying to make the big bad all the time.
The Borg are
bad.
But in particular, TNG had a lot of Borg stuff. Voyager, half of Voyager was centered on the Borg, including the end of Voyager.
The end of Voyager.
And then you have, you know, bits and pieces here and there and Enterprise and stuff like that. But like, it's fine. It does work as a story, but I guess my point is that I'm not that scared of the Borg.
Yeah,
and I think some of that whole, like, you know, and the Deanna example I think is a good example where it's like she is horrified by seeing, like, oh no.
They were scary when you first saw them, but at this point they're not.
It just seems a little like, okay, it's like, it's just, I'm not buying it. But not a bad way. It's like, I know what they're doing. The Borg is interesting for a lot of very obvious reasons. You know, in season two, for as many problems as season two had, that whole like Borg, Jurati, new collective, figuring out a new way to do things, that was kind of interesting. At the basic level, it's great, partly because, again, it's so well performed. The special effects are excellent. The production design is fucking top notch.
How long have the Borg been green for? Since First Contact? Were they green in First Contact?
I think so, yeah. I think that's where they got...
You think that's
how
they
long have you been green?
My whole life,
it's
baby.
Not easy being green.
That's what I hear.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was cool when in Jack's dreams they saw the Borg cube. It was all like lightning and smoke and stuff like this. And that's when. But I was thinking, because at that point we hear the Borg go.
It was
like,
pretty cool.
We are farmers.
So I was wondering if that had any relation, if it had any relation to Facehead person. And Facehead.
Yeah,
dude.
Facehead person is Queen Borg.
Right. And so I was trying to do the voices. Now let's see if these sound. They don't sound that similar to me. But here's some Facehead, gooey Facehead.
Queen Borg. Pursue.
Okay, and now comparing it.
It is suicide to refute.
They don't sound that similar to me. But what do you think about?
They sound pretty similar to me.
But what does? But there's another part that I had a question about. If you think this sounds similar to Face Person or the Borg
face
thing,
person.
Which this sounds most like? Remember that? Which one did that sound like, Jesse?
Huh?
Should I play it again?
Which one was?
Did you just zone out of like the past 10 seconds of when I was talking?
What's the question?
Sorry, professor.
I understand that's a Ghostbusters clip.
Yeah. I was just comparing it to the different Borg clips.
And what the
Our Borg. Big Borgs.
So, Jesse,
Those all sound like the same?
Now, you have had the opportunity to hear this, and the audience and myself have had the opportunity to hear this twice.
Because that's a good thing, because it helps get in their head just like a hit
song. And
because
they love it, because they fucking love it. They want to eat that shit up.
Small clips are meant to be played over and over again. There's no rule that says you play it once and then you move on. A lot of times people hear something like, that was cool, I want to hear it again.
It helps reinforce.
Now, I'm not saying that mine was good enough to hear twice, but I'm giving people the chance to decide themselves.
It's pretty good.
They can vote with their podcasting dollars.
Yeah. So my question is, do you think those sounded similar?
You're still asking the question.
So here's the first one, Jesse.
Maybe in a general sort of way.
So here's the first one.
We are bored.
Now,
there's some similarities.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like you've played that three times in a row.
Okay, fine. Now you're just trying to.
I've sort of lost count at this stage.
I can feel your reluctance.
That was my change topic.
All right. So then it is incumbent upon you to select the new topic of conversation.
You were talking about the networking and the Frontier Day and all the stuff.
You mean like when you go to a cocktail party?
With the liberties that the writers were taking.
Networking.
And I'm just trying to finish what I'm saying.
We each have our roles in this this little pantomime we do each week.
Once again, you don't act like it's out of your hands. All right, you have control over your own life.
I am governed by the muse.
There's no
podcasting muse.
Believe in God when it's convenient.
It's not a God I believe in. I believe in the little demon that sits on your podcasting shoulder and is like, fuck with him.
Okay,
interrupt him at exactly the right moment.
So we were talking about the writers and what they were sort of liberties they were taking. Now the whole Eremotic syndrome situation is not necessarily a retcon per se, but they definitely took that situation in a direction that wasn't intended back in All Good Things.
And I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
Because
it did kind of work.
I think in a technical, legal sense, it's a retcon. Because we know that's not what the writers had initially intended.
But it doesn't interfere with
exactly.
anything in the show.
And not only does it not break anything in the show, it actually even girds previous lore from the show.
I knew someone with GERD once.
The gastrointestinal reflux disease?
They're basically having to swallow bile all day long, from my understanding.
All right.
I interrupted you just then.
Yes, you did.
Did that bother you?
Not particularly, because it was interesting.
But sometimes they bother.
I'm not one of those negative Nellies who doesn't like a mention of bile from time to time.
Guys are guts.
I think bile is a-okay by me. It's a
Perfect.
Natural. It's a natural thing.
Bile is just all right with me.
But I do forget what we were talking about.
A duck. We were talking about.
I was not talking about a duck.
Eremotic syndrome and the.
Oh, yes. If I recall correctly, when.
Don't worry, Patrick.
Bilan is on.
Wait a minute, it didn't quite go as fast.
No, it's fine. I can edit it and make you sound much better.
Oh, cool.
When Picard was turned into Locutus, I think they state specifically in that episode, in the Best of Both Worlds Part 2 anyway, is that they say something about like they're rewriting his DNA. They reference the Borg transformation being that strong. I'm pretty sure they do. If not there, they definitely do it elsewhere. So the point being that this something like this would linger makes a whole heck of a lot of sense.
Yeah,
and
I buy it.
And as I said earlier, the whole gimmick where this is a way you can sort of do a light assimilation assimilation light on a large number of people.
How are they gonna get themselves out of that pickle?
How are they gonna
get themselves out of that pickle?
Well, we'll find out.
They're all assimilated now.
I'm sure it'll be cool.
They'll probably think of something with a transporter buffer to do like an anti-pattern that's going to cancel it out or something.
Anti-pattern.
That's what I think is going to happen.
I think they'll use a tachyon stream.
Always with the tachyons.
Or some neutrinos.
What was happening? What were we saying?
We were talking about the retconning of the aromatic syndrome, and we were talking about Picard's DNA. The reason he can still hear the Borg, which is interesting. They were like, the reason back in episode X,
it actually helps explain something that happened earlier.
Right, that he was hearing stuff because he's the receiver and Jack is the sender. Yeah. Or whatever, it was that part was a little confusing. Here's because what they were talking about: Picard is the receiver, Jack is the sender, which is kind of weird how that worked out. But then BQ said something kind of not quite the same. She was all like,
"Not Locutus, the one who speaks. You are the voice itself."
So initially, what BQ said is she said
BQ.
What they were saying is that Picard is the sender, or Picard is the receiver, Jack is the sender. But here what BQ is saying is Picard is the sender, and Jack is the thing that's being sent. So it doesn't quite line up in my book.
Yeah.
In my book, confusing. For my money. But it's not that important. It's just a little confusing.
I suppose we'll have to wait until the concluding episode.
Well, I'm just saying... There's a difference between giving and receiving and sending and the thing being sent. It's like the difference between a pitcher, a catcher, or a pitcher and a baseball.
Yes. No, I 100% agree. And in fact, great analogy.
Thanks.
Because I was thinking when you mentioned, I hadn't thought of that, what you were saying. You described the thing and I thought that makes sense to me. And then you stated the analogy with the baseball and the pitcher and it made even more sense to me. And I think it was particularly helpful because the whole time you were explaining things, I kept thinking of pitching and catching, but in a different context.
Yep.
But then you said the baseball business, so... What was that?
Sorry, that laughter.
Is that one of those out of context businesses?
That was a laughter. It didn't work because the music was like that whole end scene was great, but from a grabbing clips perspective, wasn't great because the music was. And this is not a complaint at all. This is great how they mix the music in with all that and is perfect.
I like how often we're like, and this isn't a complaint. No, FYI.
No, because I want to be very clear about this. I'm just saying jestfully.
Crystal.
Jestfully. As someone grabbing clips from that scene, it was not that great because there was music playing on it all the whole time, but watching it was fantastic.
Jestfully.
But you were talking about pitching and catching, and you were talking about how you were taking it in a different context, and I tried to play laughter, and all you heard is some kind of weirdness.
Oh, because it wasn't like joke laughter.
Yeah.
It was the end of episode laughter.
Yeah.
That you were describing something jesterly.
Yeah, jestfully.
Jestfully?
Jestfully.
As if you were jesting?
Like zestfully clean?
Yeah.
If you were japing? Jesting and japing?
Is jestful
are
a
you
word?
Effing and jeffing?
I don't think jestful... Wiktionary says it's a word, but I don't know. I think it's a word. Jestful is a word.
Okay, so...
Sneak-tionary.
So
buttons.
We have this situation where the Titan... they decide, okay, we've got to go back to Earth. I'm a little bit surprised that they didn't figure out that like maybe the Titan would be taken over. However, what I was definitely surprised at is when the Titan arrives in the Sol system, and then it's all like the alert goes off, and it was all like fleet formation mode, fleet formation mode, all in giant. I was like, wait a second, this was like a parade. Why would that be so scary? Why was that alarm so scary?
Right, it was. Yeah, that's a good question.
No. I mean, technically it wasn't a question, it was an observation.
I'm sorry, that was a good observation.
Oh, no, I did ask a question about why it was so scary. You're right. I'm sorry. It's been a long week.
I thought the fleet formation was interesting because it was a series of circles with two tails coming from the top and bottom. Like the way it was the ships were shaped as an arc of circles that were largest in the middle and smallest around the edge. Then looked like there was a little slash going through the middle of them to make a computer zero. And then there was these sort of tails on the top and bottom. That's fleet formation.
Well, I think the idea, presumably,
it's interesting.
And perhaps I'm misinterpreting things here. And I do indeed encourage the audience to write in and correct us on Twitter @ItsGotStarTrek or feedback@ItsGotStarTrek, wherever, YouTube, leave a comment. Correct us if we are wrong or incorrect about anything.
Megan, so.
But I suppose that that bizarre formation was supposed to be evidence of like how clever the whole like automated fleet thing is, right?
Yeah.
It's not 100% clear, but that's how I took it. It's like, hey, if you have an automated fleet, just like with drones doing a fireworks show, you could make all your favorite ships and all these other ships do a bunch of crazy shapes.
What do you guys think space fireworks are made out of? They're probably like photon torpedoes plasma. Or something. Plasma. Maybe. Yeah, they're probably plasma. Yeah.
I mean, couldn't they just be regular old fireworks?
I don't know. Can they? There's no oxygen to burn in space.
Good point.
Yeah.
But you could bring oxygen within the thing somehow. I'm sure you can figure that out.
I guess it's a matter of what would be more expensive is to have these sort of throw these oxygen bubbles into space or to make, like Jesse suggested, plasma spinners.
I think it'd be funny if it turned out to be canon that in Star Trek,
it was a cannon?
Yeah, in the
cereal?
Literary canon.
Like what kind? Cheerios?
I think it'd be great.
Is that episode serialized with Cheerios or is it canon? Like a shooting a cannon.
Did they shoot a cannon? Shoot it out of a cannon?
Yeah.
They use a cannon to shoot it?
Can they?
You guys all good? All right. I have a saltpeter joke coming. I'm trying to make a saltpeter joke. It's so rare you can make a saltpeter joke in this day and age. What I was going to say is it would be funny is if in Star Trek it turned out that Earth was the only place that you could get saltpeter, so it's the only place you could make fireworks. Mm. And so that Earth's secondary specialty, other than sort of weirdly running the whole Federation and having a more prominent role in all the ships, especially white men. but if in addition to that, they also cornered the fireworks market.
They should make an Age of Empires or Age of Mythologies or whatever direction you want to go, but with space. I know they have like StarCraft and things like that, but it's not the same. They've got to have something like this.
Trade Wars 2000?
Well, was all texting. No, what I'm talking about is
was text-based, but it had an ANSI loading screen.
But I'm talking about a real-time strategy game like Age of Empires where you have to get resources and you have to build things. And one of the things that you're different alien races, and one of Earth, because each race gets their own, you know, special ability. One of Earth's special abilities is fireworks.
Yeah.
Based upon what you said.
Yes, I know. So the setup was great. The punchline was somewhat disappointing.
Well, it was just a thought. It was more of amusing.
It was a good thought. It was a good thought. All right. Star Trek Picard, season 3, episode 9.
I hope we die quickly.
Vox. Data was great in this episode because, you know, there's a lot of serious stuff going on.
Yeah, even though they didn't get him to open doors, Data is providing something he doesn't usually provide, which is like some kind of humor.
Solace and humor.
Yeah.
The humor was good. The dying bit was good. I also liked when he told, when Geordi was justifiably freaking out that his daughters were all Borgified, and Data was all like, dude, motherfucker, we need a plan.
Yeah, that was good. Exactly. That was great.
That's like good management.
And they did the old switcheroo when Picard found out that Jack is part Borg, and Data's like asking Picard, he's like, would you like me to say something comforting? And it's all like, silly Data doesn't get it. And then Picard's like, that would be impossible. And he's like, then Data's like, I know. And he puts his hand on his shoulder and it's like, whoa, Data did do it right. It's like, it showed you the change from robot to android Data to human Data. Because in the first part, when he was like, I'm going to say something comforting, it was android Data. But then he morphed over into like real sensitive touching literally on his shoulder Data.
Yeah.
So it ended up being a silly miss turned out to be kind of, you know, touching. So.
Did you think it was weird when 7 of 9 called him the robot? The robot's right.
Yes, I did think that was a little weird. I wasn't sure if they were going for humor with that. Does she have a history with androids? I don't know of her.
It was weird.
She was like doing the Pulaski there.
Yeah, it was almost like, yeah.
It was
like,
actually, I would argue it was the influence of the Doctor on Voyager. I think that's the kind of thing he would have said.
Right.
So maybe that's some humor, maybe. Some sort of sardonic humor that she picked up from him.
That would be cool. I could dig it.
But otherwise, I thought it was a little weird, especially since Data's less robot now than he used to be.
Right.
He's totally almost not a robot.
Speaking of Pulaski, they mentioned the USS Pulaski, so they named it.
Oh, yeah. That was cool.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah.
And the first ship that came out was the NCC 1701F.
Yeah, they have.
Which was excellent to watch that.
It kind of looked like Voyager a little
there's
bit.
There's a lot of Enterprise lore in this one.
Did it look like Voyager
Believe that is referred to as an Odyssey class, which I think was originally designed either designed for Star Trek Online or designed elsewhere and then incorporated into Star Trek Online.
I was reading something about Data flying like the F in Star Trek Online, I think.
And so it was cool to see the F, and we had already heard, I think either heard or saw in the credits or whatever, you know, the Enterprise F is already slated for decommissioning soon, so it's already an old ship. We get the lore about the Enterprise E.
We get the lore about the Data,
which was a funny joke with Worf. Yes, the whole like Geordi awkwardly sets up the joke by being like, "Well, it's not like we can take the E," and then everyone slowly looks over at Mr. Worf, and Mr. Worf
was not my fault.
Says that was not my fault. That was funny. Mm-hmm. It was a forced setup, but it was funny, and it meant we learned something about the Enterprise E, and it's great because now somebody else can pick up that story, whether it's in the comics or a future TV show or something. There can be all this lore about, what do you think happened to the Enterprise E? I don't even know, man.
What do you think happened to the Enterprise E? Should make a song. What do you think? Wait, what do you think happened to the Enterprise E? I don't know. What do you think happened to the end? Wait, what do you think happened? What?
That's not the song.
What do you think happened to? No, how did I do it? What do you think?
No, you got it. Just keep doing what you're doing.
What do you think happened to the Enterprise E? I don't know. What do you think happened to the Enterprise F? F and Jeff. All right. What happened to the Enterprise E? I'm going to go down to the store. You'll see whatever happened to the Enterprise E. Yeah.
What about the Enterprise G?
Oh, man. You serious?
I think there's a diminishing returns after a certain point.
It'll be like the Enterprise, like, no, G-E.
But that would be like one of those songs that, you know, goes on forever because they list all the things.
This is the song that never
ends. Like, hi, my name is Joe.
Yeah, and I work in a button factory. Yeah, or what's that song factory that's all like, and the green grass grows all around in the green grass. And they
sounds weird.
And they're like, and the fox goes to the store, blah, 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 and the green grass grows. And then they go, and the raccoon goes choop-a-choop-choop-choop, and the fox goes poop-a-doop-doop, and the green grass. And then the next time they're like, and the bird goes tweet tweet, and the raccoon goes, you know, they progressively add one and more and more, but you have to remember what was previously
said.
And that's what you can do with, what do you think happened to the Enterprise E?
Are you back on the energy drinks?
No, I'm not. But I do have two.
Wait, what?
I have Dr. Pepper Zero and a Coke Zero.
Okay.
You normally have one soda, now I have two sodas.
Okay, so you're like, I'm gonna cut out the energy drinks and I'm gonna replace it with two sodas.
Yeah, two sodas.
Something are they full sugar sodas or are they one of the zero varieties?
I'm healthy, so I just drink zero.
I'm sure. The Enterprise F was
did
cool.
It get sucked into a nebula.
Yeah, there you go.
I like
Jesse.
They had a good variety of ships countering the, I think, fully justifiable critique of the season finale of season one of Star Trek Picard, where Riker shows up with a copy and paste armada of all the same ship, pretty much. So yes, this is a grand improvement over that. Getting to see all that, and it's like I know before I was saying like, yeah, the Borg aren't scary. This is scary. It is scary to see like the whole fleet. Blah. The whole fleet.
They blow up the Excelsior.
The Borg. It's fucked up. They blow up the Excelsior.
And there's a big old like shockwave, and it like everybody rattles.
It's interesting that they blew up the Excelsior, but we didn't get to see it. I understand. It's like it was more dramatic that way. I thought that was a great decision. It was like submarine movie style.
It's a big ship.
And I was
where the blip's there, and then the blip's not there anymore.
Yeah. The bleeps, the sweeps, and the creeps.
Yeah. That sounds impossible to make. That one where he's like, what's his name? Winslow? Carl?
Yes.
Carl Winslow. That's Carl from Family Winslow. Matters.
This is a special effect that Dan doesn't like, audience.
No.
Dan doesn't like it when I do this.
Bugs.
He hates it.
It gives me anxiety.
It causes all sorts of trouble. So I won't do it long. But I've always wanted to do it on the podcast.
Michael Winslow.
On the podcast proper.
Michael Winslow.
Michael Winslow.
Who's Michael Winslow?
He's Academy. Sound effects guy.
Sorry.
So 250, I like how they said a quarter millennium ago, that was when the NX-01, which was the first Warp 5 capable vessel constructed by human hands.
Because of those goddamn Vulcans.
Yeah, they wouldn't give them Warp 5.
Nah, they had like Warp 6 and 7.
Not until NX-01.
That's the whole thing. Go watch Enterprise. Mm-hmm. Highly recommended. Mm-hmm. Enterprise.
Why were they being all coy about showing BQ's face?
I mean, to be fair, it's not highly recommended. It's the great. It's recommended.
Well, the actor that played the BQ in the previous season passed away.
Oh, did she? Yeah.
She did.
Oh, fuck. I'm sorry. That's insensitive of me.
But even though that was a, maybe perhaps an alternate BQ.
Okay. I think this is a good point to mention right before we go to break that, yes, it's the Borg.
Well, then how'd she get her voice? Queen. How'd she get her voice? How'd they get her voice for it?
I believe...
It's got to be someone else, I guess. But...
I think they got Alice Krieg to do the voice. She did it in First Contact. She played the role in First Contact, so maybe she's playing it here. I think there's another twist coming. I think that we don't have the full story yet when it comes to this Borg business and Jack business.
Well...
I think we know what's going on, mm-hmm. and I think they've given us most of it. I'm feeling, sensing the tentacles of Terry Metalis reaching into my brain and saying, you know what, there's going to be one more twist coming up in the concluding episode. Mm.
Tell me about these fines.
The fines or the vines?
The vines.
I thought she was talking about parking fines.
It was like she was asking Jack to tell her about his mother or something. Tell me about these
red light speeding or the speeding camera ticket you keep getting.
Did you ever hear about my mother?
But what was it, Alison Krieg?
Alice Krieg.
Alice Krieg, sorry. Jesse, you just said, so she passed away.
No, not Alice Krieg.
Oh, who passed away then, Jesse? Who does the actual face?
She played the Borg Queen in the second season of Picard.
Oh, so she played the face. Did she play the voice in that one too?
Pretty sure. Yeah,
yeah, she played the whole thing.
Well, maybe there's a clue because at one point when Jack is on the ship and he's like in that, you know, moment where he's like,
Annie Wershing.
It doesn't show her face either, does it?
No, but in that whole scene, I think we have a clue here. In that whole scene, she goes,
Generati, puer de.
Okay, that first part.
Generati.
Like Agnes Girardi?
Yes,
maybe.
Generati.
Agnes Girardi?
But what's she actually saying?
Regenerati.
Agnes Girardi?
But what's she actually saying?
Regenerati. But like it's
Regenerati?
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a break.
And then she goes, puer da or something. It's Latin or something.
We'll continue.
Puer is boy.
We'll continue to talk about this in just a moment when we get back from this break.
Oh, let me do it.
All right, you do it.
Okay, we'll see you guys. We'll see our voices will see your ears. Will see.
All right, we'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Your ears will see our voice in a minute.
We'll be right back. Do you want us to bring us back, Dan?
Back.
Hey guys. Hey. We're back.
All right.
Hey.
Hey.
Sorry,
hey,
I brought guys.
This up. Hey, Dan.
See, Dan is doing this on purpose. He's a very
the Borg.
Dan is a very clever, creative person with a performative personality.
Jesus.
But ever since I called him out on not going to break, now he's gonna be all going. All right.
Resistance is futile.
But.
Okay.
Star Trek Picard, Season 3, Episode 9. Vox. We're going to wrap things up. We're starting the wrapping up thing.
Whoa, we're already there.
No, I mean, we're not there. I mean, we're starting it. We're starting it.
We're starting it.
What have we not talked? We haven't talked about. Well, we won't talk. We're not quite yet to the very end bit. Borg stuff, Queen stuff. I think there's going to be some other twist in some way. I don't think there's really much point in doing too much predicting here because you know next week we'll find out the conclusion. But
yeah, we're often wrong.
Yes, often wrong soon.
Nah.
But it was interesting to see.
Just like that guy.
You know, Jack, of course, again,
Jack
somewhat,
is Vox.
Somewhat predictably.
Jack in the Vox.
He's like, you try to trap him. He's like, I'm going to use my mind powers to like take these dudes over.
And the eyes were the eyes. What's it with the eyes turning black thing? They have to turn black all the time.
But only temporarily
they turn black. And did you notice that when? Okay, so they had the cables going into his head and stuff like in season two, but you kind of hear this like just some more Shaw clips when they were getting taken over.
Mura,
the forge.
The forge.
Mura, the forge.
Now hear the rest.
What is that?
That's the fucking Borg, like, taking... That's the skittering. That's the assimilation.
He's getting jacked in?
Yeah.
Jack's getting jacked in?
So that was LaForge, Sidney LaForge getting jacked in, but that's...
Right.
The sound is like, it's the skittering bugs.
When they get gross face.
Yeah, when they turn, eyes turn black, and there's like the Borg assimilation noises, like bugs skittering in their brain, which is pretty effective.
Nanobots,
that's right. That's what nanobots sound like, when they're in your brain.
Skittering nanobots.
Because when things are in your brain, you can hear them.
A million skittering nanobots.
Jesus Christ. It's horrifying.
We have the Titan.
Yes, you do. You have the Titan.
So the Borg. Yeah, we were talking about the Borg. When Picard like used his badge, when he was using his badge to communicate with people when the Borg were taking over the fleet.
Yeah.
You'd think that the Borg would have heard.
Maybe their badges aren't connected to the network.
They were using the maintenance line.
In Star Trek, how do they know who to talk to when they're pressing the button? It just knows who to talk to.
You push it and you call out to somebody.
They put little psychic aliens in each badge.
That's what I was
thinking. It's a little tiny psychic alien.
Oh, and I want
to... And it knows what you want to do before you do.
And I want to bring up, I meant to bring this up last episode, but two
episodes... Cetacean ops. They use cetacean ops.
Two episodes ago, I mentioned... Oh, yeah, cetacean ops. The whale sense. They've got the extra senses.
The whales on the Excelsior are dead.
They got
blown up.
That fucked you up, didn't it?
Yeah.
You like whales.
Two episodes when they were talking about the compromise code, and I was like, remember they were talking about the Riker sent out the compromise code to let them know where that he was in trouble, right? From the strike. And they were talking about the compromise code, it's fucked up because it gives away your position. And my question was, does it give away the position of the sender or the receiver?
I think it's both.
Yeah, and I was saying it was both, and that was confirmed last episode because Riker was all like, should we have sent out that compromise code? We really fucked their shit up, you know? Yeah. And so I just thought of that about that because I was thinking about Picard's communicator and him talking and thinking the Borg could pick that up and compromise. I was just thinking about surveillance, you know, in general. There's a lot of surveillance stuff going on in this episode. This whole Borg.
Yeah, but there was that thing about how there was another communications channel that was like connected to the maintenance, whatever, and maybe they were at some point they decided maybe they were broadcasting on that instead.
99 Delta.
Yeah, 99 Delta.
Yeah,
99 Delta.
That was the maintenance channel, right? So that was the special channel
for special people
for the maintenance.
I've never been so happy to see so many wrinkles.
Yeah, with the TNG theme in the background.
Yeah, that line made
the
me
motion
feel
motion picture theme.
The line made me feel a little uncomfortable. Something about I've never seen so many wrinkles. I don't know. It made me feel like that.
Did it remind you of that episode of King of the Hill where Hank Hill accidentally walks in on his mother having sex with her new elderly
but
boyfriend?
Now it
the
will.
Guy from Arizona.
And
he
now
goes,
apparently
and he goes temporarily
you?
Blind.
What are you talking about?
Well, because I think there's some line about there's something about all the wrinkles, so many wrinkles.
Yeah, you thought about it. Yeah,
that's like the unbearable blindness of Lane.
Yes, that's right.
That's the name of the episode.
So
it's a good episode.
I tune in
for our King of the Hill podcast called "It's Got King of the Hill."
So I came to a realization about this whole theme of this one of the overarching themes of this show season.
Is it not the thing about surveillance that you just said?
No, it's something different. So okay. Picard's like
seed,
and then he goes. He started with
seed,
and then he goes
seed,
and then he goes to
seed.
Wait.
What are you doing?
Seed.
What? No, but that.
So you're like just playing the same clip over and over, but you're pretending it's different instances. Is that what's happening? I just want to know that. Like, I just want to be on board with whatever we're doing. But like, otherwise,
seed.
I'm just confused.
Chief O'Brien.
And then the next. That would have been a good gag. Did you guys hear the difference? But then the next bit, he was all like,
"Something I passed on to you, one that took a generation to grow."
Grow.
Generation?
Yeah.
It took a generation? A generation?
That's a buzzword.
As in Star Trek, The Next Generation?
The Next Generation.
Jax, a generation?
Or the movie.
Or the movie Generations?
Yeah.
Or the name
Yar.
Of the first episode, Generation? Speaking of generations.
The android, Data.
Who's speaking of generations?
Speaking of generations.
Are you talking about?
When Data goes... Judging, but when the shit's getting all fucked up about people getting assimilated, Data's like, judging by this simulation, the Borg genetic material doesn't propagate in a species past a certain point in the developmental cycle.
Do you say simulation or do you say simulation?
I say simulation.
Assimilation?
Beverly goes...
Simulacrum? You remember that magic card? Simulacrum?
Yeah.
Yeah. But Data goes past a certain point in the development cycle. Beverly goes, which for humans is age 25, which is when the frontal cortex stops development, which I looked up and actually apparently that's true.
Yeah, although I also looked it up and it is up to 30. It's a spectrum. It is not, it's by no means like a hard, a hard day.
No, right.
But it's fair a TV show. It's, you got to make fair things enough. Simple for the TV show.
So Geordi goes, so this
you don't want to confuse your audience too much.
So then Geordi's like,
it makes them aggravated.
So it doesn't affect people past 25. And Geordi's like, so this won't affect us, but it will affect the youngest members of our crew. Keep in mind, Shaw is there. Then later on, when they're in the turbo lift, Shaw asks, why weren't we assimilated?
Because you're old, bitch.
And then, yeah, exactly. Wasn't he there for that first conversation?
He's the captain, but why is he the captain?
He didn't hear the first discussion yet. But then
that was filmed later.
But then Seven goes, no offense, but judging by all the gray hair, I think the process must have skipped a generation. It's like they kind of re-explained it, but slightly differently, because
It because Seven and Shaw weren't present during that conversation?
Shaw was there during
the
conversation.
I thought he was there.
I was pretty sure he was. Yeah, I'm almost positive he was there. And they say it skips a generation, which is not quite as clear as Beverly's explanation, but I don't know. I was confused by that.
I previously wasn't confused, and now I'm confused.
Good, then I did it right.
You shouldn't be confusing your audience. Your audience wants you to hold your hand.
Maybe they're not confused, but the hosts are confused.
Nanoprobes. Oh, the nanoprobes. Beware the
skittering nanoprobes.
Terrible things.
Very terrible things.
A million skittering nanoprobes.
Okay, so I think we can come to...
I think that's about it.
No, we got to talk about the Enterprise D, brother.
Hey, brother.
We haven't talked about the Enterprise D.
Brother.
And no D's nuts jokes. No Enterprise D's nuts jokes.
Absolutely not.
Keslevar is a research Heaven academy on Vulcan.
Heaven for Fenn. Oh, Keslevar, yeah.
It's interesting. I think there should be...
Beezus Fafoon.
I thought it was an interesting point when Jack was talking about, like, all the answers... I thought all the problems were the fact that we basically don't understand each other. And then here, now we're in the Borg situation, and it's like everybody understands each other, but it's being used for evil. I thought that was an interesting point, because it's like the Borg approach to mind...
Hive mind?
Sort of like... let's say... Ultimate empathy. Let's call it ultimate
Shit, man. That's some intense shit.
So the Borg...
You motherfuckers down for some ultimate empathy?
So the Borg take a more like hive mind control approach, but the Vulcans take more like this ultimate empathy approach, which is the similar principle, right? Because it's about reading each other's minds and knowing what each other's about.
You think the ultimate Vulcans have ultimate empathy?
Well, theoretically from the mind meld.
But like in real life?
Real life, no. But the mind meld itself, I've said this in the past, how the mind meld is like, that's the key, right?
Yeah, good call.
And so the Borg basically have a nonstop mind meld, but their intentions are bad, so they turn it into this kind of like...
Nonstop mind meld is an awesome album name.
Yeah, Ultimate Empathy. Nonstop mind meld. That's the band is called Ultimate Empathy.
Yeah, that's the band. Yeah.
So, but the Borg
to rock is logical.
So Borg and Borg and Vulcans both have a tool for this total understanding of each other. But the Borgs use it for one way, which is scary, and the Vulcans theoretically could use it for an understanding kind of way. So there should be a Vulcan Borg mind battle. That's where this should end up with. Okay. Is a Vulcan versus Borg mind battle.
Say that times fast.
It's like the light side versus the dark side.
He'll play three clips in a row. Be careful what you wish for, Jesse.
The Borg.
A
bee.
A duck.
Good points.
Vulcan Borg battle. What was I supposed to say? Vulcan Borg battle. Vulcan Borg battle. Vulcan Borg battle. Is that what I was supposed to say?
I forgot.
mind battle things.
Yeah, okay. That sounds right. Yeah.
All right, that was a bit
well
of,
done.
There was a bit of
Kesslevar.
Fanciful levelty.
Levelty. That's what I do levity. when I'm building levity. My table. Is I need a levelty.
Levity. Levity.
Gotta make sure it's straight.
Stephen Levitan. All right. Enterprise D, we mustn't finish the podcast without talking about the Enterprise D.
So they went
prime directive.
They went back to the ship museum, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That was what was in the
that was what was in Hangar Bay 12. Now, we all knew that.
Right, yeah. Right. We all knew, yeah.
And that's okay.
No.
It's a thing to say, you can guess what this is going to be, and you're going to still be super happy when you get to see
it. Yeah, it was awesome.
Because that's what, that's
because
they had to do that.
No matter how predictable it would be, I would be pissed off if they didn't have the Enterprise D at that point.
Absolutely.
For everything they've been doing this whole season, if they just excluded the Enterprise D.
It would be the ultimate hilarious troll.
It would ruin your whole D.
Just purposely not do that.
Your whole D would be ruined.
My whole D?
Yeah.
What?
You guys. I said no D's nuts jokes. Come on.
I hope we die quickly.
The Enterprise D was amazing. The presentation of it, the production design, recreating my understanding from searching around the interwebs a little bit, built from scratch, based
they
off
borrowed
of,
it from some they got Nova Rick, Scotia or something. What was
it? No. They built it. I think they might be
the
giving it to
came
like
from another ship.
It was the Syracuse.
Syracuse.
They got the.
What am I talking about?
You said Nova Scotia.
So they got it from. No. And they got the saucer from Viridian 3.
The saucer they retrieved, and I think there was already an implication that that was obviously going to happen. Because
of the prime, it was messing with the ecosystem.
Yeah. You just don't leave saucer chunks.
You're not supposed
to
leave debris from your spaceship.
Thank the good old prime directive.
But the bridge looked great. The lighting was great. Just amazing. And it was wonderful to see the folks all standing there, except it was weird because, as I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, Patrick Stewart or Captain Picard at one point just have their hands in their pockets. Like,
I still, man, now I gotta watch it.
I could be misremembering and maybe
no,
I
believe
I think
you.
He was doing that ever since he got the jacket back in like fourth season.
No, I don't think he was putting his hands in his pockets on TNG ever. Even when he had the jacket, the leather jacket, I still don't think if he did it, it was rare. I don't think he ever did though. I would argue that he never put his hands in his pockets. Write us in at It's Got Star Trek on Twitter or Instagram, Mastodon, and tell us whether or not Picard Pocket Gate.
He's an old dude.
Hashtag Picard Pockets.
His hands get cold.
There are no nanoprobes in his system.
I bet there aren't. All right. So anyway.
The carpet.
Does the carpet match the drapes?
The carpet.
I did like the carpet joke. That's like a season-long carpet joke.
That's when...
Two season-long.
That's that laughter I had. Yeah. That was from... Because it goes like...
The carpet.
Did you notice a couple things? Geordi, of course, is sitting in his like season one chair.
Yeah.
Before he was promoted to chief engineer.
And he had a red shirt.
Previous guy whose name I always forget. I always forget that like the TNG, like TNG, there was this totally other dude who was just occasionally popped up as the chief engineer.
I don't think he had a name, didn't he? He just said he was just.
I think he engineer. Probably had a name.
And then Data, he's all like,
"Hello, chair."
Yeah.
Which immediately reminded me of
life forms.
Yeah.
You tiny little life forms. Hello, chair. Life forms.
Where are you?
I often overlook that little last little like computer ditty that he does.
Need that.
It's great. Yeah.
And this was just prior to the saucer section landing on Viridian 3.
When he was like, "Oh shit!
Oh shit!
Oh shit!
Oh shit!
Oh shit!
Oh no!
I hope we die quickly."
Oh shit!
Go fly.
What about this part?
Authorization acknowledged. USS Enterprise now under command of Captain Jean-Luc Picard.
I think the reason, and he was all like, "I'll take the field demotion," but they had to work that in because I think they grabbed Majel Barrett's voice from like a TNG era.
Yeah,
they would have had to refer to him as
Captain.
And
the ship would have been disconnected from the network to like download new database.
I guess that's a good point.
You could argue.
I keep assuming they have internet, right?
They don't have
no Wi-Fi, no satellite internet.
Geordi was doing some like seemingly off books bizarreness, building a fucking battleship.
Under their noses.
That's a nobody knows. Court martial.
He's like shunting the. That's why some of those rings were empty, because he was selling off like famous old ships for scrap. That's why the Titan had a hole to hang out in, a ring to hang out in the museum. An empty ring.
I thought it was good.
Make it so.
I thought that was solid. I wanted to compare real quick when he goes, when he says engage. Here's a couple of moments of him saying engage, and I'm going to compare it to when he says it in here. See if you can tell the difference.
Engage.
Engage at warp 9.3.
Ensign, engage.
Take us out of here.
Don't,
Captain.
You want to be the one to explain when the captain says engage and we just sit here?
Engage.
Why do you have everything all sped up?
That was, I grabbed that off YouTube.
It was like a bunch of sped up engages?
Maybe, I don't know. It was, well, they jumped to different lines. Do you think they sped up?
Geordi was especially sped up.
Most of those clips were completely sped up. Those were like maybe 150% or so. It was pretty wild.
Do you think they grabbed it from the TV show like later on in the life when they started? Remember when they started speeding up TV shows?
I don't think they did it that much.
Okay, I grabbed that clip at like the last like minute because I didn't have time. So I'm making an excuse for my
all good,
for my overlooking overlooking that
it's all good, yo. I'm sensitive to these sorts of things.
I should take responsibility for my lack of diligence, but I'm blaming it on I ran out of time.
I'm sensitive to
diligence.
The speed of audio clips and to the resolution of monitors.
I thought it was like he was a little
like
high.
The aspect ratio, like stretching versus, you know.
I thought Picard like sounded a little.
Engage.
He sounded.
Engage.
Yeah, he sounded a little high pitched. I did think that. Engage. I thought that was weird. Yeah. I was like, I don't remember it being like that.
Number one, make it so.
Geordi sounds especially like.
I think there was a moment earlier in the season when I thought Picard's engage didn't convince me enough, but this was a good one.
Engage.
I thought that was a solid engage. Yeah. It was a little. Yeah. It was a little bit
sped up. It's a little bit sped up. It was a little higher pitch.
No, that was the one he said in the episode.
And you sped it up.
No, I didn't. You're
somebody,
trying to,
somebody did.
You're trying to confuse me.
Engage.
No,
engage.
I think he put a little. He put a little extra effort. Usually he's just like engage. And this he was like engage. But but like he would have reason to because they just got their ship back and they're all psyched.
I think it's also the first time when they were on this bridge. I think it was the first time he called Riker number one.
Hmm.
I think previously he's been referring to him as Will.
Oh, what in this season?
In the series.
Geordi
in
the whole ranks series? Riker now.
He calls him number one in the series.
I don't think so. I think it's because of the context.
Geordi's a Commodore and Riker's only a captain.
Wait. No, we're talking about Picard says.
Picard calls Riker number one. There's a joke earlier in the season where the Picard is like, I'm your number one.
I remember that.
But he doesn't call. I mean, again, and please write in at feedback.
I could have sworn in TNG Picard must have said number one.
No. Not in TNG. I'm saying in Picard.
In Picard. Yeah, no, he doesn't call him that in Picard.
That's exactly my point.
I said in the
season.
I said in the season. You were like, no, it would forever.
No, in Picard season 1, 2, and 3. I don't think he ever refers to Riker.
So I was saying season 3, and you were referring the whole series of Picard.
Yeah, number one is his dog.
Number one is his dog, and he's always referring to Will or Riker or whatever.
Yeah.
And now because of the context, they're on the Enterprise D bridge, and they're about to get down to business. And Riker is in his position, in the number one position.
They got the D.
And Deanna is all ready to go and be like, I sense hostility. she's all ready to go.
I love the carpet. Yeah, they had to point out the carpet because, of course, you do, because it looks so funny when you compare, like, you know, sensibilities of show making today versus around the late 80s, early, well, it would have been late 80s because that's when the show was made. But yeah, to have that carpet on a bridge of a ship is both awesome but kind of ridiculous when you look back on it. But it's awesome.
Now,
like, it's totally awesome.
I have a question.
And we have an answer, don't we, Jesse?
We might.
Analyzing.
I don't know that you'll have an answer, but you might have a supposition. Do you think that they did with this cast and the bridge of the Enterprise D, the same thing that they did with the cast of The Goonies? and the pirate ship.
Okay, question is that. Hey, Jesse, can you hold your tongue and say I was born on a pirate ship?
Okay.
No.
You're dismissing my question.
I was born on a pirate ship. Goonies pirate ship.
You're childishly dismissing my question. What I'm saying is, for those who were not aware.
What?
For those who are not aware, in the movie The Goonies, mm-hmm.
Which you saw recently.
Which I saw recently and have seen many times before. But in the movie The Goonies, with the excellent music, produced by
the star-studded cast.
Steven Spielberg, Oscar winners in that cast now. In The Goonies.
Okay. Getting there.
In The Goonies, there's the scene where the children
in The Goonies
first see the pirate ship.
Right.
And they are so overwhelmed and emotional, is amazing. Yeah. And supposedly Richard Donner, what he did was is he refused to show the kids the pirate ship before filming
that
the scene.
That was a long trip to get to that point. I see what you're saying.
In order to get their most authentic reaction, right. Instead of kids acting like they're just seeing a pirate ship, actually be in awe of the fact that they had the budget to build an entire fucking pirate ship for this movie.
It's kind of like
did they do that for the Enterprise D?
It's kind of like The Shining and Shelley Duvall. Just don't tell them when it's coming. Isn't that the whole deal? Is like Shelley Duvall was terrorized during all of The Shining.
Yeah, so
similar,
yeah, that's right.
Similar to your previous analysis about
like
the Borg and the Vulcans. The Borg and the Vulcans having sort of like a good version and an evil version of a similar concept. This Shelley Duvall reference is sort of like that.
Except
because I was talking about the joy and awe of children seeing a pirate ship for the first time and relating that to the idea that this crew who hadn't been on the set of the Enterprise D in so many years, I was playfully suggesting this because it seems to be me ludicrous that would be the case. It'd be like, hey, do you want to see the set? When you don't get to see the set until it's the day that we're filming.
Right.
You're like, oh my God.
I like how the lights like flickered on and all came back to life.
I like how Worf was all like, I like the Enterprise E better.
Yeah.
It had more. Right.
Somebody was like, just. Stuff.
So, do you think that they did that with the crew? Do you think they did that where they is that what you're asking, Patrick? Do you think they did that with the crew, like in Goonies? Is that the question you were getting at? Because we never found a resolution to this thread that we've been
not
pulling.
Everything has to resolve.
Yeah,
kind of.
I just was popping it out there. It was mostly kind of like a humorous
just jib jabbing.
Yeah, humorous jibber jabber.
Well, they did seem to like the situation.
They really like me.
Yeah, maybe they did that, Patrick. Maybe we should write a letter to
Terry Metalis.
Yeah,
et al.
And ask if they fooled the crew and was like, we're not going to show you it until the very end.
I don't know if you all have any final things. I was also going to point out it was weird when Geordi was all like, we need like an analog ship. It's like, dude, the Enterprise D is not analog. I know you don't got
that was
the
weird.
Internet.
Yeah.
It was like, I know what you're saying, Geordi, but I know what you're saying, but come on.
I mean,
analyzing.
They didn't have like tape decks they put in when.
Yeah.
Analyzing.
Yeah. Analog. All right. Any other final thoughts before we wrap things up? Wrap it up in the present?
Architecture.
There he is. I think I was
architecture.
I think I was able to talk over every single time he played that clip.
You did that on purpose.
I did not. It was just it was the flow.
It was the flow.
It was the flow.
When Beverly goes,
I gave Wesley space, and I lost him to it,
literally and figuratively.
Yes, and people have noted online, they've commented on this fact, especially after this episode, but even previous to this episode, because this is a point that's come up a few times now, that yes, Wesley is a traveler, and he's off doing his thing, but I guess he's not ever visiting his mom, and that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
I guess that's a change in his personality or something, but... She's certainly asked. Beverly acts as if he's effectively lost to her.
Yeah,
almost as if he's
a bummer.
Dead. Yeah,
and then Riker was all like,
"Fleet formation."
Oh wait, real quick, I keep going like, and they were all like, I gotta think of a different intro word. And then Riker was all like,
and then this guy said,
and then
like
he
this.
Was all like, so Riker says, he says,
"Fleet formation."
Looks more like a firing squad.
More like Borophil, eh?
Yeah.
More like Borophil.
Chlorophyll. More like Borophil.
Billy
joke.
Madison.
Yeah, it's a Billy terrible. Madison.
We don't. Sandler. Well, we've run out of time. I did mention these games I had. I don't want to leave people hanging, but we run out of time, so we don't have to actually play them.
Are any of them entertaining?
Well, Ouch, one of them you already kind of answered, which is this one.
Borf. Borf. Borf.
Why is it so many people talking?
Borf.
This is part. This, it's that whole scene. It's very hard to grab clips from.
Oh, it's the war for talking about the.
I prefer the weapon systems on the E. Additional phaser arrays, torpedo.
Borf.
It's unfortunate because they speak
it. Perfect.
It was great. It's great to watch, but to pull the lines out in isolation.
Yeah. Borf.
You should get that. Borf.
Good to watch.
Yes. Okay. Here's a question.
Of course it is. Of course it is. Of course it is.
Can you guess who that is?
Is it of course it is. Captain Shaw.
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's our only option, Captain.
Of course it is.
And then the last one is.
In your mind. In your mind. In your mind. In your mind.
In you just like
mind.
That one?
In your mind.
Anyone know what's going on there?
In I don't know. Mind. I know you're grooving. Like you're actually grooving. In your mind. In physically
your mind.
Grooving.
In your mind. In your mind.
This is some kind of dance. Techno house
yeah.
Trancy
yeah.
House except progressive
without a beat.
Yeah.
I'm here with you, Jack. In your mind, I can feel.
The games weren't that exciting this week, but see, they don't always work.
No,
because I don't always plan them. Well, I never plan them; they just happen. But sometimes they hit, and sometimes they don't. And you know what? That's part of life, and that's what makes life beautiful.
It does. And what also makes
nothing is more elusive than a door the mind doesn't wish to open.
Thank you, Dr. Troy. yes.
Oh, there was one last thing. It was a touching moment. It was a touching moment. This is a very touching moment.
You've bored Jesse.
I was making music for this.
You're making the beat.
Oh,
you're not just absentmindedly babbling.
This was an emotional.
No.
This is an emotional moment that getting the ship
an
back.
An emotional moment.
Getting the ship back and everything. So let's just hear this out. It's like 20 seconds. Just hear it out.
Jean-Luc, wherever you go, we go. Thank you, number one. Stations, please.
Station!
Okay. See, that was good that you made it that long because it makes it funnier when it was that long. You're just like, oh, this is long. I was like, oh, that's because it's going to be extra funny now.
Yeah, that's right. Like, and just long funny. Enough. That's going to be a thing now.
Station. And I think this episode of the It's Got Star Trek podcast has been just long enough. So
make it so.
Let's close things down for this week. But next week, we will return to conclude our weekly coverage, not only of Star Trek Picard Season 3, but of Star Trek Picard, because that's it. That's all she wrote.
That's it.
This was the penultimate episode, and last episode was the uber ultra quasi penultimate. Is that what it's called?
Next week's finale is titled The Last Generation.
What's the episode before the penultimate?
The anti-penultimate.
Okay. Is there a pen anti-penultimate?
It goes all the way. It goes all the way, motherfucker. I mean, for serious. For serious.
Math.
Analyzing.
It goes all the way. All right. So, yes, we'll be back to discuss The Last Generation, a very ominous title. But my guess is there's some twists and turns here. I think that there's going to be some interesting stuff coming up. I have zero access to spoilers. It's just that's the impression I get, that the way they've set things up is to have us expect one thing, and I think they're tricking us a little bit. But we'll see. We will see. In the meantime, you may reach us and all manner of digital connected type things at It's Got Star Trek. That's Twitter, Instagram, Mastodon. YouTube, you can find us there, Facebook.
Master Don Juan.
And all that stuff. And Dan hangs
Master
out there
Extractor.
Sometimes.
The Crimson Arboretum on Raritan 4.
Dan, the master extractor, now he's the master shouting out facts from the episode, just sort of disconnected facts that demonstrate that he watched the episode.
I did, yeah.
Like the only utility they have in this universe is to demonstrate, at least with some degree of confidence, that he watched the episode. And there's going to be more of this next week as we discuss.
Engage.
As we discuss that episode. And, oh, by the way, after that, just so you all know, after that, we still do podcasts. We just go talk about other Star Trek episodes.
Jump around a lot.
And we have Dan has an algorithm that he developed for reals. For reals, an algorithm that we use to pick stuff. But you can also write in.
It's one of those for reals.
Write in if there's an episode you think we'd want us to cover. We'll take suggestions.
And for the algorithm, we have gotten requests to run random sort of speeches and things like that unrelated to Star Trek through the algorithm and see which episode the algorithm tells you to watch based upon that speech.
7 years.
Yeah, let's run that one through the algorithm. See what episode of Star Trek we're supposed to watch.
Let's run the script of the Big Lebowski.
It's going to be past tense. Because that's the other thing about the algorithm.
Yeah, there is some weird thing about the algorithm that keeps suggesting past tense, and we did past tense like fucking years ago.
Yeah, so we just ignore that one.
All right. Anyway,
it does it in orders. So.
Well, we'll figure it all out.
It ranks it.
But with that, we'll wish you all a good week and a good night. We'll talk to you later. Bye bye.
Data, could you try being a little more positive? I hope we die quickly.